Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we're unworthy even to be called your servants, but Lord, that's what you've made us. Lord, we do thank you for calling us to be your servants, but most of all, making us your sons. And Lord, do bless this whole meeting that will take place here tonight. We ask your blessings upon it in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to say that we'll be leaving tomorrow. Sometime about this time, we'll be heading out back to Morelia. We were up 2 months, for 2 months stay before this, week stay here. And we had to come up for, take care of some business. Okay. And I'm not saying business like something to, in another sense, but to get us out of some trouble. And the Lord took care of that. And we did that those first 2 months. And now we spent this week up here to be with y'all in this conference, and it's been a blessing. And like I said that one night that I brought a message, and I mean it, and I think most of the missionaries can agree with that, that we're thankful we can come to a church that we feel loved. Amen. You know, I think too many people leave out of this church and say there's no love there, but there is love here. I want you to know that. And a lot of you have sacrificed of your things, of your houses, of humbling yourself and greeting somebody maybe that's not of your type, and you showed how much really you are in Christ. And I do appreciate that. I know the other missionaries do too. It's a lot better than coming up to a church that everybody's cold and backslidden, and you know, there is no love. Y'all, I want to thank y'all for being a church that has the love of Christ. Also, I want to thank these pastors. These have been faithful men. And they have been an example to me. And I respect them, each and every one of them. And I want to thank them for being mission-minded. Amen. You know, first of all, because the cause is for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for Him and for souls to be saved. First of all, and most and foremost of all, it's for that. Just like you were saved one day, you know, others can hear the gospel and be saved. And I thank the Lord for these pastors that push missions, that promote missions, that have also some faith and trust in us. And I thank the Lord for you brothers. Also, the hospitality that's been given here time and time again. You know, I was thankful to come up for these 5 days. You know, I'll be honest with you. I come up, maybe I'm a little selfish. Yeah, I think we all are, aren't we? I'm a little selfish. I want to receive God's word. I want to be with God's fellowship. And I also like to come up to get the good cooking. I don't want to get myself in trouble this year, brother. My wife cooks good. But I get some extras also coming up here and getting some of this good cooking that they share throughout the week. I want to thank y'all for sacrificing of your provisions towards us. Also want to thank the Lord for the wife He's given me, my wife. She's a warrior at heart. She's not perfect. Neither am I, neither are you. But you know, she has made me what I am. God has used her. If it wasn't for her, if it wasn't for the Lord and her, God using her, I'd be somewhere else. Just forget it. I'd be somewhere else. I thank the Lord for my wife. Amen. You know? And she don't just roll over and play dead. You know what I'm saying? She wants to fill the gap. The Bible talks about, you know, a man, could he find a man to fill the gap? Then he said another area. He looked for a woman, didn't find none. But I tell you, there's a woman. I think there's many women here too. You know, I know there is. But I want to thank the Lord for my wife. She's one that's filled the gap. And hey, won't be long. We'll be seeing the Lord Jesus. Amen. You put up with me a little while longer and you're going to get a big reward. Big reward. I want to speak a little bit, about how I was called. Personally, how I was called. I'm not going to lay these down as requirements for you to how you would be called. These are some of the things I couldn't reflect all the way back, and I'm going to correct something that was said last night. We hadn't been on the mission field 18 years. We've been saved 18 years. but we've been on the field 11 years by God's grace. And just remembering some of the things that God used to call me to his ministry. And one of the things he used was he gave me a burden to get the gospel out. You know, I've always been a stammerer or stutterer all my life, even in Spanish. You know, even Bill speaks better Spanish than me. You know, I'm the one supposed to be speaking the better Spanish. But this güero over here, güero means a white skin, white man. He speaks better Spanish than this old brown skin man. But you know, I've always been a stammerer and whatever, but it goes further than just what, you know, what the love for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he's done for you. I've always had that burden. Hey, the day I got saved, since that day, I don't remember the exact precise hour. I know when I got saved that all I could do is just go tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, and life went on, and my wife can tell you some things that I wasn't always walking right with God even after being saved. But you know what I remember? She might tell you one thing, but what I remember is, I was out preaching everywhere I went. And really, that's just about it. I was out witnessing, preaching. I think some of you have this testimony too. You got saved and you couldn't hold back. You had the burden of getting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out, and that's what you would do. And that burden wouldn't go away. Wherever I would go, even as being a truck driver for HEB, I'd go to different stores throughout Texas, and people along the way, mainly those HEB people in that dock where I would unload that truck, I would speak to them of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd give them tracts. That was my mission field. That was my mission field. Not just the work, but that was my mission field. I had a burden to get God's word out. And if you're being called, you need to see, do you have a burden? I mean, do you desire to see other people saved? Do you desire for them to hear the word of God? Are you ready to grapple with them? Are you ready to deal with their souls? Are you ready to tell them and help them? You know, do you have a burden for the Lord Jesus Christ? I know the majority of you do. You know, a lot of us, we're not witnesses. You know, we're not giving testimony. You know, if you're like that, you know, you need to start giving a testimony. You need to start giving a witness. But maybe you're not called, or maybe you're just not called to go to the mission field. You know, you need to have a burden to get God's word out. The other thing I was thinking about was, you know, you need to be in fellowship with God's people. You know, I did miss a lot of church because of being a truck driver. But like Andrew was saying last night, Towards the latter part of those years before I was called, I wanted to be at church. A few times I would park the truck out here, and I'd go late back to the dock because I wanted to be at the meeting. It wasn't always easy, you know. 7 o'clock Wednesday night, I was somewhere else most of the time, you know. And when I was close around here, I'd run that thing and I'd get that thing over here if I could. Sometimes late, but you know, I wanted to be with God's people. If you don't have that desire, you don't have that fellowship, you know, maybe you're just not called, you know. Also, the Lord used another thing, of course, the Word of God. The Word of God, you know. I'd read the Word of God. I am not a very intellectual person. I'm not one that can just read those things. That thing stands out to me in every little point, every little understanding. No, I'm not like that. I'm a line for line type of reader. And I'm looking for basically something that'll bless me. Something maybe I can give to somebody else. You know, to this day, I'm not a great theologian. I'm just a preacher of the gospel. And I know there's, I've seen them down in Mexico. They pass me up in the knowledge of God's word. Hey, I'm not, you know, you might say, well, you ought to look ashamed. Well, okay, that's all right. If you want to think that. Hey, I'm glad they can go on. I'm glad they can go on. You know, I wish I could go on, but this is where I'm at. And I'm going to accept what God's given me and the gift he's given me. Little as much if God is in it. And you know, reading the Bible, just reading it through, I'm just generally just getting things that speak to me and maybe can help somebody else. And at that time, God was speaking to me through his word about prophesying, not none of this new age stuff or whatever, prophesying, preaching the gospel, seeing the men of God, how they preach, how they went to their forefathers to preach, that was probably one of the main themes that was hitting me at that time. Get out and preach, prophesy, see what the men of God went through, whatever. And God used his word and he showed me this is very important, getting the gospel out by the preaching. Another thing, the Lord used in calling me was my environment, things around me, things that surrounded me, the job, my family, my time, my time, what was it being allocated to? Was it being wasted? Was it going on in the vain things or whatever? My time, my environment, I weighed the things out, I had this good job. This good job, and it's not something you want to just let go. When you got a good job, just say, I'm going to drop this. It's not that easy. But you know what? God made it easy. He worked that job out of my heart. And he used many things. I'm not going to get into all the things he used, but he showed me one thing. He showed me my covetous in that job, because that job was a good paying job. And boy, easy to make another $100, just hook up to another truck and make another $100 with no problem. Hey, HEB pays good. But he showed me that, and he showed me, when I say my covetousness, he showed me through a drastic, slap in the face, where I thought I was doing God's service. I said, Lord, this is for you. This extra run is for you. And I knew he was dealing with me, and somehow or another, he allowed some thieves to come my way. I mean, in the name of God. And they took a bunch of money from me. And then, boom, God showed me right there. Your heart was in the riches. And he used that. That's like one of those things. He said, look, wake up. You're not really living for me. You were living for, the mighty dollar. And he used that, the job, the temptation of that job. And just also he showed me that my field had been planted. In other words, I was learning God's lesson through many things, and that other thing was one. And the other was that I was replanting, rewatering, and I was probably overwatering, God's seed in the hearts of men. That God showed me it's time to move on to another field. And I was preaching to San Antonio, and I would do the same thing. I'd rush back to get down and preach with the brothers and all that. So, home was being taken care of. But God showed me, now this field is done. This field is done. And right about then is when he was speaking to me about your forefathers. And that's when I went to, where my dad was born, Puerto Rico. But it wasn't something that just passed, something that just came overnight. It took about 3 years to get there after selling everything and sleeping on the floor and hearing some more messages and really being dealt with. Was I really called? It was about 3 years later that finally the door opened up to Puerto Rico. I got Guatemala, and I could have gone to Mexico. I mean, it was, there's no problem, but the Lord showed me over there. Of course, I didn't go over there to build churches. That I didn't understand this, and I probably could have looked into that a little bit. But really, I went over there basically to preach the gospel. Puerto Rico, just give you a brief about Puerto Rico. It's a place that's saturated with the gospel, but it's the perverted gospel. It's the, you can lose your salvation, speak in tongues, and all that. But just to get back to what I was getting at is, the Lord showed me through my environment, through my situation, what are you that might be being called? How's your environment dealing with you? Now, you're not just going to run because of one thing or the other, but your environment speaks a lot. What's happening around you? God uses that. Also, something along with the fellowship with God's people, the counsel of God's people. You don't just say, well, I'm going to go. You need to get around some of these godly men, godly women, and talk to them. Deal with them. Let them deal with you. Like I say, it took 3 years for us to go, so we had plenty of time to talk to godly people. That's another thing God uses, the counsel of God's people. And the last thing I put down, there's probably more, and maybe some of these other missionaries could say other things, was it was a clear decision. It was There was no gray saying, you know, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. And none of this stuff. It was clear. It was clear. I remember driving down, I don't remember where, but an ATV truck I was driving. I was hearing this preacher on the radio. Good, godly man. And he was hitting every point about the call of God. I mean, everything that God was dealing with me. God used this man to put the period on my call. And boy, by the time he got in, right at the end of the message, I was running down the highway with my hands up in the air, tears streaming down my eyes. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm going. I mean, it was no doubt. Don't you ever move in doubt. That's not faith. And God won't bless that. You got to make sure it's clear. Got to make sure it's clear. And if it's getting clear, you better move. You better move. And I know you will. Because when it was clear to me, there was no turning back. Got to go. Those are some of the things that God used in my life. And I hope you can understand some of those things and maybe apply them to your life if you're being dealt with. But let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And I guess when I was talking about the covetousness and the thievery and all that, it showed me the vanity, the vanity of what I was really living for, or where I was living double-hearted for the Lord and for the riches. He showed me the vanity, like it says in Ecclesiastes 1:1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All is vanity. You know, I know we understand as we believe it, but I think daily we need to recognize how vain life is, how vain we are, how our life is but a vapor. Right. And you think about it. I was thinking about what I heard recently on the news that it's been 5 years since the Oklahoma bombing. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that, but I'm sure most of you are. 5 years. It only seems like 2 years ago. Time is flying. Time is a ticking away. Think about time. Time is a ticking away. It's just ticking. Time is short. Time is ticking away. Life is vanity. Today, me and my wife are trying to take care of our last minutes, get whatever's and get ready to go on back today and walk and driving up to one of these malls and I see a lady that a young lady with her two white terriers, you know, beautiful white dogs. And she has these beautiful blue scarves on them, you know. Man, okay, I can see the dog, you know. It's like, you know, look over here, you know. The blue scarves and the white, you know, it's like, look over here, you know. But then I looked over there, yeah. But I said, how vain. Yeah. How vain. You know, I was in Salamanca recently and I saw two Doberman Pinschers behind a gate there, and these were not fighting dogs. These were just hounds just thrown in there. Their tails weren't snipped. Their ears weren't clipped. They were just dogs, like what God made them to be, you know? And then to see these people, how much, man, they'll do, what, I don't know, so many things for their dogs. I mean, they got big old pet food stores bigger than Walgreens. I mean, almost as big as Walmart, if not as big, for dogs and animals. And hey, I'm not trying to offend nobody now. Somebody just came to my memory. They keep telling me, these brothers over there keep telling me about my dog. They would have put him on the grill. Get rid of that dog. Put him on the grill. Do something. Make, I don't know. But you know, what is it? The vanities. Also, another short story. Going through a mall and now they got a place where these ladies got a place to make their nails real long. I mean, we were trying to make a purchase and this one lady was, I said, honey, let's find another register. We're going to be here forever. I mean, and then we walked by this place where they make these things for the people. What good is it? What good is having nails that long, ladies? I mean, you know, can you wash yourself? I mean, come on. Mike, you might look good, but you ain't gonna smell too good. I mean, you keep it up. Vanity. All is vanity. All is vanity. The preacher, it says a little later on, he taught the people wisdom by giving them the word. Because this is the real thing right here. Coke is not the real thing. This is the real thing. Amen. You young people, this is the real thing. Amen. You get in here and you work on this a while and you'll see how real it is. The pleasures, good pleasures, you know, watching the Spurs. Me and Bernie stayed up waiting for Angie to come from Debbie's trip, wherever she took her last night. You know, watching the Spurs. I enjoy the Spurs. I don't know about you, maybe you don't, but I enjoy watching Spurs. It's a pastime, it's a good pleasure, but you know, it really is. It's just a time, a pastime. It's vanity. It's vanity. Hey, there's some good pleasures. Enjoy them. But don't forget the reality. What really counts is the gospel. Is the gospel. Well, I can get into talking many other things, but let's go on to 1 Corinthians 15. Many of y'all know these two thoughts, but I just want to bring it to your remembrance again. 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I had a fine sister tell me today, boy, you're just getting gray. You're just getting grayer all the time. Hey, time is going by. But you know, the time that's gone by, there's been some labor done there, and it hadn't been in vain. Amen. Hadn't been in vain. The labor you've done, some of these guys around here, pillars of this church, has not been in vain. Whatever you do for the Lord is not in vain. Amen. You know, I've thought about a few things that the Lord's pressing upon my heart is deal more in the house. I've been dealing in the house, but deal more in my own house. Man can't take care of his own house. How is he going to take care of the church of God? Make sure the wife is right. Make sure the kids are right. Give them God's word while you got them, you know. And I think again, along the line of my wife, she wants to be a blessing. She knows that her work in the Lord is not in vain. Like I said a while ago, she don't want to just roll over and play dead. She'll get up, call on me, I'll fill that gap. All right, I'll do the best I can. But you know what? She is an example to me how she'll go out and she'll deal with those Mexican women down there, and she'll deal with them to be their friend, to love them, and it's also been said that sometimes they even call her their mother, you know, and that's a blessing. You know, I got to work on her. I say, look, you just kick back a little bit. You let some of these other sisters and brothers deal too. You just kick back a little bit and you deal with yourself. You know, we can become too much a blessing and forget our own self. So I want to say that our work is not in vain in the Lord, but let's not forget our own self. You know, I'm encouraged. Like I say, we want to be a blessing to you. My wife wants to be a blessing. These other brothers here want to be a blessing. You want to be a blessing. Don't forget your own house. Don't forget your own house. Again, I'll read it again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Abound. Abound, but take the right stride so you finish the course. Let's pray. Well, let's go ahead. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Continue to bless the meetings. And Lord, thank you for your word. It's true. I ask you to continue to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.